I remember I was in Toronto and I was going to Winnipeg, and it was my first show there, and everyone in Toronto was like, oh, bring a coat. Winnipeg. Hope you like cold weather.
Transmitting live from frigid Winnipeg, this is 101.5 UMFM.
I'm not sleeping outside. Then I got to Winnipeg, and I was like, oh, they're right. They're right. They nailed it.
I can barely get any reception on this stupid thing. So far, the only station that comes in is some British guys reading news from places I'm not sure exist.
Today, in Kazakhstan, a peaceful demonstration turned to bloodshed as members of the Tuzili tribe flooded Kenpow Square in remembrance of the third anniversary of the Holmesburg massacre. And now with sports, here's Framtel Tromwibler.
You're listening to The Hockey Show, broadcasting at 101.5 CJUMFM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
I'm not sure about any of that.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Do you remember me? I don't even know anymore, and I'll tell you this for free. Some things don't make sense in the morning. 3-second memory helps you to forget all the same, and sometimes it's what you need to move on with life again. Life again. Strife again, she rode off on her bike again. Perfect end, never again. I don't know quite where to begin. There's evidence that ever since she left perfume and fingerprints, I won't let you. I won't let you, won't forget you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have everyone with us here tonight. Lots to go over. A busy week for both myself and pretty certain it's been busier for one Jenna. Jenna, how's everything going?
it's been a crazy week. Yeah, I'm sure we'll get into a little bit, but it's going. You know what? I'm having a great week. So
you're doing something that might be more fun, more crazy, more, and I guess not crazy, but more active than anybody else in the city at this point, is you're kind of knee deep in a hockey camp, aren't you?
Yeah, so I've been with Sam and Joe Small's camp all week so far. It's what, Thursday now, so my body is not used to it, definitely. I haven't been this sore in a very long time, I'm not gonna lie to you, but it has been probably the most fun I've had in a very long time, learning a lot as I'm going too. But yeah, knee deep in it right now. The week's almost done, which is a little bit sad because I don't want it to end, but I think my body's ready for a break already. It's good.
I mean, let's get into it a little bit then, because I mean, obviously that's a camp that we promoted a little bit on this show and certainly we're fans of, because Sammy Joe Small's always been so good to us and we don't mind helping her out. But I mean, you said, you know, it's been fun. You've been learning a lot. Like, what, for people that don't know, people have never been there, never had their daughter there, what's the first thing they should know about this camp? What stands out to you the most in terms of just being there all week and seeing the kids there?
Honestly, I think the thing that stands out, you know, obviously there's hockey camps that, you know, you go to as a kid and you remember, but like, I'm pretty sure like most of the people working in this camp right now have either been there forever or they've been in the camp and are now instructing. Like, it's a place where, like, I went there for 3 years, 2006, 2007, 2008. It's one of those camps where you, like, you just keep coming back. Like, I know I was posting some stuff on Snapchat and whatnot of just, like, our girls are hilarious. And, like, the amount of people that are like, oh, my goodness, what camp is that? And I say, they're like, oh, my gosh, I went there when I was younger. It's one of those camps that's just, it's fun. It has a mixture of, like, I mean, the girls work hard. They do some actual workouts, but we have a lot of fun. And
what's the age group that you're currently in? Because I mean, obviously when you say girls, I mean, it could be anything from, you know, 4-year-olds to, you know, to 17-year-olds. So who are you in charge of this week?
I am in charge of, they're called Gold One. So we have a couple girls that are 11 and the rest are anywhere between 11 and 14 in my group. So, I mean, there's different age groups. There's bronze, gold, and silver. I think there's 2 golds, 2 silvers, and 2 bronzes, maybe. So it's anywhere from 7 years old to 17 years old. But yeah, I have a couple 11 year olds and then the rest are around 12 to 14. And they are a hoot and holler. They are some crazy kids, but they're super fun. And yeah, I don't know. I'm having the time of my life, I think.
I mean, again, you coached this year in terms of having a team. You were in charge of the Vics and out in St. Vital. Are we talking like that level hockey? Are we talking a little bit less? Like, how good are these girls that you're in charge of?
We have some that are, you know, just not, there are a couple, I think, that are maybe have only played for a year or two. And I think that's the nice thing about this. Like, we have some girls that are pretty skilled and some girls that are, not that they're not skilled, but they're willing to learn and they are doing their best. And I think it works well because, I don't know, they don't seem to have a problem with it. There's still competition if that's what you're looking for. Most people are there for fun. You're still going to learn a lot because at this point, the camp's mostly about individual kind of stuff. Like, we're not going to pair up people that are, you know, these super skilled players with some players that are just starting out. The purpose of it is to get better on your own level, which is kind of nice. Most camps are not like that. It's kind of just, we'll throw you in and if whatever, whereas here it's, we'll do stations, we'll work on skating. Like, we do a little bit of everything. And a lot of it is just, you know, do the best that you can, try as hard as you can. But there's a different range of levels, I would say, but it's, I don't know, it's super fun, whether they're super skilled or maybe not the most skilled, but it's a good time.
There's on ice and there's off ice components, obviously. And that's one of the things I think that makes Sammy's camp a little more fun is that it's not all hockey. It's a little bit of, you know, training and nutrition, all that kind of stuff that they work in as well. How's it been with the smoke though? I mean, we've had some pretty smoky days here in Winnipeg over the last few days. So have you guys been outside or have you been working in sort of in that indoor soccer area? We've been
a little bit because it's at Gateway. So, you know, there's the soccer pitch and then we did the shooting outside. Other than that, most of it, like, we'll do at the soccer pitch. We played bubble soccer today, which is super fun. But so bubble soccer was inside. What else? Most of it we do inside. Like, the girls don't mind going outside for a little bit, but we've only done, they do a full workout on Tuesday and a full workout on Thursdays. And the rest is kind of just like fun games, like bubble soccer. We did a scavenger hunt today. Yeah, I don't know. It's fun. There's the off-ice component, but it's also still super fun. So I think that's what makes it different than most camps. It's not strictly hockey.
We sold this on this show as one of those camps where it seems like everybody goes home smiling. Would you agree that that's happened so far for the 4 days you've been there?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of smiles, but also a lot of tired faces. I mean, COVID, you know, most of these girls haven't done anything for probably just as long as me. So I know a lot of the girls are coming in. They're pretty sore, but they're all smiling faces the second you get there. So can't really ask for much else. I mean, they work hard. They're happy. They seem to be having fun. So,
I mean, the only unfortunate part, and I'll say this only because I know it happens annually, is that it only happens once per year. So if you're planning on going or you want to go or you want to have your daughter go, by all means, circle this week on the calendar next year because this is a big one. Keep your eye on sammyjoesmall.ca on her website. She has all of her information there. She posts everything up there. But if you want to go, you want to have a good time, Jenna can attest to this. It is a blast at that camp. I've been there an observer a couple of times, just having gone there and done the radio show from there. Obviously can't do it this year with COVID protocols and everything. But as you said, Jenna, it sounds like it's a blast and everybody's having a good time again.
Yeah, no, it's 100%. I mean, it's always around the same time every year. Keep an eye on it. I'm sure we'll be posting about it next year too. So definitely probably one of the most fun camps that I have ever been to, and I've been to a fair share of them. I mean, obviously I was there for a few years. A lot of the girls, like I said, a lot of the instructors now have been there for 15 years because they've been at the camp since they were 7 and now they're old enough to instruct. So it's got to be pretty fun if you keep coming back, right?
No disagreements there. I mean, like I said, from what I've seen and from, you know, the times that I've been there, it looks like it's just an absolute blast to be out on the ice and certainly doing some of the stuff out there. So congratulations to all the girls that are there, obviously. Want to pass on our best wishes to them, and hopefully they can find their niche in hockey and certainly get into whatever program they're trying to get into. But, yeah, it's always a good time at the Sammy Joe Small Hockey School out of Gateway Recreation Center. So hopefully everybody's having a good time, and it sounds like you, Jenna, might just need another week off to rest now.
Yeah, I got some of those, you know. Have you ever heard of cupping?
Yes. Yeah
I've got some of my own cups and I currently have them on my arms because I've been teaching them how to shoot and stick handle for the last 2 days. So I got them on my arms right now. I'm gonna switch to my legs after because it's a lot of skating.
wait you it, for a a woman who describes herself as not a scorer, you've been teaching the stick handle and score and shoot.
And the worst part is my hand is still not great. So, and you know what? I said, I'll show you how to do it. Just do the opposite of what I do. I'm just kidding. I know the basics. Maybe I don't score goals, but I mean, I know the basics. I got a pretty decent shot, I'd say. So
yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, I got the cups on right now. I'm going to switch them to my legs in a little bit.
All right.
The last day of camp, so.
We're going to switch a little bit as well. I'm going to look at the big event that happened last night. Obviously, the Seattle Kraken are now a team. They have 30 players to their name, 31 technically, if you count Henman, who was signed a while back, but 30 players who have NHL experience, at least, on their roster now. Some surprises, some maybe not surprises. I want to say right off the top, watching the expansion draft, Seattle might have one of the best uniforms in hockey right now.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one.
Like, I like the blue. Don't get me wrong, the blue home. But the white, I mean, the white with that S on it is just, it's impressive. So,
yeah,
count me as a fan of the Kraken already. But
The jersey, I agree. I think, I mean, like the, yeah, I like the white ones too. I'm just looking again.
Yeah.
I've looked at them like 18 times in the last little bit, but that's okay. I think they look good. They're not too much, not too bright, nothing too crazy, but they look good.
Some Winnipeg connections on the Kraken, which we'll start with. Obviously, goaltending is a big thing, and Chris Dridger is going to be a big part of that, it sounds like. So nice to see the Florida Panther, Winnipeg-born Florida Panther, get to a shot with them. But amongst the other players, former Winnipeg Jet Brandon Tanev, also part of the Kraken, former Winnipeg Jet Mason Appleton, also part of the Kraken, and Manitoba-born Morgan Geekie, also selected by the Kraken. So a lot of Winnipeg connections on that Kraken team. Anything that stands out for you on that roster that maybe is a surprise, maybe is, I didn't think that player would get picked, or I didn't think that player would go there, anything like that that you see, Jenna?
I'm just trying to think about it. It's been a hot minute here, but I don't know. I think that they're going to have a pretty decent team, though. I mean, it, obviously, coming in, you're always going to be the underdog, but.
I mean, we can run. I'll run down a few of the players that I think stood out to me.
Yeah, let's do.
Mark Giordano as one of the picks from Calgary. I mean, obviously, a longtime Calgary player and has been there for, like, forever. I think they posted something today that it's the first time since like 1995 that neither Jerome McGinley nor Mark Giordano will be on the Calgary Flames roster. And you go, like, that's ridiculous. That's like 20, yeah, you know, 22 years ago. But you look at that at Giordano and you go, instant credibility. Guy can play at a high level. He's probably going to be their captain if he stays, if he's still there by the time the season starts. I think that Giordano fits in nicely there as a guy who can really sort of get this team started and maybe hand it off to somebody else once he finally decides to retire.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, he gets paid bucks for a reason. So
true. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think him or Eberle, I think, are two that are gonna, I mean, I just like Eberle as a player in general. So that's why I'm going to talk about him. But yeah,
I was going to say there's a couple of other players and we'll get to Eberle in a second, but defensively. So defense looks like they're going to be good. And I'll say that right now, only because Seattle's got some really good players. Jeremy Lauzon, who played for Boston, looks like he's going to be a player for them. Again, Giordano's in there. Shockingly, Adam Larson decided to leave Edmonton and go to Seattle. He was their pick, which a bit of a surprise. Carson Soucy is going to make for interesting setup coming from Minnesota. He's an excellent defender there. But then you look at a couple of the other guys that they have. Vince Dunn, who can sort of, you know, fill a role and has a big shot. And then they have Oleksiak, who came from Dallas. And, I mean, the Jets had some interest in at the deadline. But Oleksiak, I mean, is going to be – those six defenders right there might be better than, I'm going to say, at least 10 of the NHL teams that are currently set up right now. Because that's a decent defensive core.
Yeah, I think their D might be outdoing the Jets D right now.
yeah, I would say that. But, I mean, I look at that and I go, obviously there were some players out there and Seattle took advantage of it, but they're really going to build from the back end out. And I mean, you go again, they got Driedger, they got, you know, Vanacek from Washington in terms of their goaltenders. Decord's probably going to end up playing in the AHL for them, but I mean, he'll be available if there's an injury. But I mean, you look at the, they have young goaltender, young good goaltenders, and they have a very experienced, very good defensive core. I don't think that Seattle's going to be a very easy team to push around next season.
I don't think so either. I think they're going to probably surprise quite a few people. I mean, like I said, obviously they're going to be the underdog because they're the new team. But I mean, Vegas was technically the underdog and they came out not too shabby. So
I was going to say that the weird thing is that we haven't even seen what's going to happen. I mean, we knew Vegas was going to have a, you know, had they had a question, bit of a questionable team when they first started, only because, again, it was surprising to see some of the players that they took. And you kind of went, okay, well, Derek England was on that team and, you know, he's not that great and whatever. But it was the trades afterwards. And that's, I think, the big thing right now is that you're going to see Seattle make deals coming up. The trade freeze is on right now, but there's going to be more deals that Seattle makes, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think the team might look a little bit different by the time the season starts, but as of right now, they don't look like they're going to be too bad. Like, I think they might give some teams a run for their money. So
you mentioned up front that there's a couple of scorers, Eberle being one of them,
yeah,
who's probably going to be their, I don't know about their best offensive player, but certainly one of their most reliable. Donskoy from Colorado is an interesting choice. I think that he provides a lot of scoring if given the opportunity. Yarncroc from Nashville was very effective this year for the Predators, even though Predators didn't really do much. Some of the players, though, Yanni Gourde is going to be, I think, is going to be interesting. McCann is going to be interesting. And Blackwell, I think, will be interesting when you're talking about guys down the middle. They don't have deep centers. There's definitely a weakness there. But you look at that team and you go, there's just enough scoring there that they could be dangerous.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a couple of the names, obviously, like, I know who they are. I haven't paid full attention the last year or so, but yeah, I think that they will be, like I said, they're going to be surprising, I think. And maybe they don't have the, you know, most skilled players. They don't have those super huge names. I mean, they've got a couple, but like you said, there's enough scorers there. There's enough people that can put the puck away. And I think that they will be a dangerous team once the season gets going.
And I mean, we're talking about a Pacific division that hasn't had a lot of success in terms of producing, you know, teams that have a ton of points. I mean, we're talking about a division that has San Jose in it, obviously, that has Anaheim in it, that has Los Angeles in it. That's not to say that Seattle isn't going to be better than any of those teams or all of those teams, but really, I mean, outside of maybe Vegas, outside of maybe, I don't know, Edmonton, Calgary, maybe Vancouver, maybe, like, you look at that Pacific division, you go, Seattle's really going into a good division where they can be competitive because the teams in that division aren't that strong either.
Yeah, like San Jose and them. I mean, it's all debatable. It depends on the day. I think lots of the teams are similar to the Jets where they're not consistent. And I think that's a perfect place for them to, you know, get into because, like you said, they have a little bit of wiggle room. It's your first year. No matter if you had, like, you could have, okay, I'm not going to say McDavid because he seems to find the net a lot. But if you have, you know, big names that are going to, you know, like, you can just rely on, I think you, even then, if there's still a new team coming in, there's just, you got to have some time to gel as a team, as a whole. And that's hard to do when you're, it's a brand new team. Never mind half these guys, maybe, yeah, they played together, but not in that kind of environment. So I think it's a good place for them to just be in. And then I think they're also going to have, you know, the fact that they are a new team. They have a lot of people jumping on that bandwagon just because they are a new team. Like, I don't know. I'm excited to see them start up because I think that, yeah, they might not be better than all the teams. They might not be better than, you know, any of the teams, but I think they're going to give a lot of them a run for their money. So I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to it. Vancouver, if you're wondering, will be Seattle's first home opponent. Cool. October 23rd will be the opening night in Seattle for that arena, for that team, for the Kraken. That's a Saturday night. So I would circle that on your calendars, hockey folks, because that's going to be that's going to be a big night for Seattle. So I'm expecting that to be a bit of a gong show, but I'm almost going to be certain that you'll probably see that game on Hockey Night in Canada as well, just because.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. What day did we say that was?
October 23rd. It's a Saturday night, and Vancouver will be visiting. So, it's, again, that is going to be a Hockey Night in Canada night.
It has to be. There's no way it can't be.
I mean, Vancouver's playing on the West Coast. It's almost always going to be on. So the fact that Vancouver's playing in Seattle on their opening night, I mean, that just makes too much sense for everybody. Yeah. I expect ESPN probably to have a crew there as well. So expect a lot of hoopla and a lot of, you know, fanfare around that game for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited. Why can't it be October already? Just kidding. I'm not ready for October yet, but...
I was going to say, let's have a little bit of summer here first, but okay.
I don't have a
schedule will be released coming up this week for everybody else. The NHL entry draft goes this weekend, so be prepared for that, folks. Don't put your scouting reports away just yet, as 32 teams will welcome new players to their teams through the entry draft. Seattle picks number 2, which will obviously give them a bit of a shot as well in terms of a little more star power in there, but... A couple other home openers were announced. I'll jump to this. Home openers were announced today. Not today, excuse me. Were announced, today, I guess. Yesterday, Wednesday.
What day is it?
I was trying to figure out. I was looking for the date on the thing, and I was like, I think it's today. Maybe it's today. No, it must have been yesterday. For every team, every single AHL team has their setup. They're going to unveil the entire schedule on Friday, July 23rd. So be prepared for that tomorrow. The Manitoba Moose, if you're wondering, will begin their quest at home for a Calder Cup on Friday, October 22nd. They'll play the Grand Rapids Griffins. It looks like the season opens the weekend before, on the 15th and 16th for most teams. They'll be in Toronto that weekend. So they played the Toronto Marlies on Saturday, October 16th to open the season, it looks like. And then we'll come back to play... Grand Rapids at home. So that's the first home series will be against the Grand Rapids Griffins. I was gonna say all sorts of Griffins coming to Manitoba this year.
Heck yeah.
Oh, except for the one in Edmonton not visiting, but that's all right.
Yeah,
we'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
For those asking, there are a few other teams that need to be highlighted, because we'll talk about this team in a few seconds, but Abbotsford, the new AHL franchise for Vancouver, they will open their season at home, or I guess not open their season, but open their home hockey schedule on Friday, October 22nd against the Henderson Silver Knights. So the AHL team of the Vegas Golden Knights will travel to Abbotsford for that first game in Abbotsford in quite some time.
Okay.
Circle that. A Canadian matchup in Belleville happens on Saturday, October 16th, as the Laval Rocket will visit Belleville and play the Senators. So Montreal's AHL franchise against Ottawa's AHL franchise. The Bridgeport Islanders, who changed their name to the Islanders because we hate that. The Islanders will open their home schedule on Saturday, October 23rd against the Springfield Thunderbirds. So... There are your name changes and city changes for everybody who needs some information there. So the whole thing can be found on the AHL.com website if you have any questions about home openers. Are there any AHL teams? I don't know how many games you get to or how many games you will get to, Jenna, but are there any AHL teams that you're excited to see this year, maybe if they have a chance to pass through Manitoba?
Honestly, I haven't really thought. That's a good question.
Since there were no fans last year at Manitoba Moose games because they were playing out at the Iceplex, it's been a while since we've seen the Moose play anywhere. And I mean, we got to see highlights and stuff. You know, Cole Perfetti in a Moose uniform last year were frequent highlights on all the social media stuff or whatever. But we haven't seen AHL hockey in Manitoba now for a full season, almost for a full year. So I'm kind of excited to get back to see the Moose play a little bit.
I'll be gone for the first half of the season, but that's all right. Once I'm back, I will probably be at quite a few games, I think, because I missed them. As long as by then we're allowed people, but I think we're on the right track. So
I'm assuming we will be able to if everything goes as planned, but yeah, we'll see what happens there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but as long as we keep vaccinating everybody, keep doing your part, and we're okay. Yeah. Other moose news, just to highlight other moose news as well, because it needs to be mentioned. Winnipeg Jets hired Mark Morrison to replace Pascal Vincent of the AHL's Manitoba Moose. Pascal Vincent obviously moving on to the Columbus Blue Jackets to take an assistant coaching job there. Morrison, who was with the Moose from 2015-2017 and then prior to that with the St. John's Ice Caps from 2011-2015, he was an assistant coach for 6 years with the AHL franchise, and certainly during his time he's, you know, had experience with guys like Kyle Connor Hellebuck, you know, Adam Lowry, those kinds of guys that have come down and played a little hockey. But Morrison spent the last four seasons as assistant coach with the Anaheim Ducks. So it looks like Mark Morrison coming in very high. Apparently Craig Heisinger was quick to call him once Pascal Vincent made it clear that he was going to move on to the NHL. So looks like we're going to have a pretty experienced AHL coach moving in with Mark Morrison.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, obviously the experience is always good, but someone that kind of knows the program a little bit too, and that's exciting. I was gonna say that name sounds familiar, that makes sense. But
I mean he's got experience. Again, he's ECHL coach, he was coached, yeah, and played with the Fife Flyers over in the English and the Elite Ice Hockey League as well. He won coach of the year honor three times there, so guy knows what he's doing, it sounds like, which is always nice. But I mean, it's nice to have a familiar face back, I think. Just like you said, a guy who kind of knows the system and knows the organization very well, and certainly, you know, has a pretty good idea as to how the team anyway wants players to develop.
Exactly. No, that's exciting. When is the Moose's first game again?
It looks like it will be, again, if we're going back to that, it looks like it'll be in Toronto against the Marlies on Saturday, October 16th, the first home game for the Moose. Will be on Friday, October 22nd, here at Canada Life Center on October 22nd against the Grand Rapids Griffins. There we go.
Right. Okay.
So there's your setup, and Mark Morrison gets a chance to, I mean, he'll start on the road, but gets a chance to come home the week later and hopefully maybe comes home with a 2-0 record or whatever it is that they're going to have at that point. So hopefully
that would be a little treat.
That would be awesome if they could. So there's a little AHL news for those that are searching for some AHL news from our team here. Do want to jump over to the CHL, because this is an exciting announcement. And honestly, I didn't know that this had expired. I thought that this was going to go on forever because it seemed like they had a pretty good space on Sportsnet. But Canadian Hockey League announced on Wednesday that they are part of a new multi-platform, multi-year broadcast right partnership with TSN, RDS, and CBC, making those three networks the home of the CHL, which is awesome, I guess, because, again, Sportsnet forever carried these games.
Yeah, I feel like Sportsnet's just been like the go-to for everything lately. So it's kind of nice to have. I don't know. That's cool, though.
So the details, and this is where things get a little, this is where people want to probably keep an eye on. Beginning in 2021-2022, so next season, the new partnership includes approximately 30 regular season games each year delivered by TSN. So if you have a TSN package, you're probably going to get most of those games. In addition to select playoff coverage and the comprehensive suite of CHL national events, which means that the Prospects game will be on there, which means that the Russian series they always play against the WHL and the OHL and the QMJHL, that'll likely be on there if it's a go this year. And the Memorial Cup, assuming that it goes as well, will also be on there. So the national coverage of stuff will certainly still be on TSN, which is great.
Yeah.
Additionally, the agreement includes approximately 20 French language broadcasted games on RDS. Anything in the QMJHL, which will be most of those games, I guess, will be broadcast on RDS, which is the TSN French version. Early season weekend games will be broadcasted by CBC Sports. So if it's an early season weekend, CBC Sports will have it. So you get to see CHL hockey on CBC.
I like how there's like a wide range to make sure that, you know, like it's always going to, there's always all the games basically, you know, you can watch now depending on what time, whatever, whereas, you know, normally it's like, oh, it doesn't fit in with whatever else we're going to air. But right now we got everything. We're covered 24/7, basically.
I mean, it's not going to be every game because, I mean, yeah, there's,
well, no, but
there's hundreds of games. But at the same time, though, here's where things get a little bit better. Digital streaming rights featuring a CHL TV broadcast each week will be featured on TSN, RDS, and the free CBC Gem streaming service. So even if it's not on TV, there's at least one game being broadcast on the streaming services as well.
No, exactly. And like you said, obviously you can't air every single game, but this gives it a lot more. You're going to air a lot more than, you know, we would have before. So
looks like the Memorial Cup, for those that are asking, because again, we didn't have one last year. The Memorial Cup is currently, they're examining where it's going to go. The QMJHL is the host for it this year. And it sounds like both Quebec City and St. John, New Brunswick are the two centers that are vying for that tournament this year. So Quebec City, which has that brand new spanking new arena that nobody's using right now.
That's just it.
Right. That there's no NHL team in, even though they built it for an NHL team. Quebec City, home of the Remparts, and St. John, home of the Sea Dogs. They are, I think that's Sea Dogs anyway. They are the two teams that are, or the two cities, excuse me, that are going to be hosting, or at least vying for the host on that. I would think, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to put one in front of the other because I don't know enough about anything in terms of who's better for the you know, the CHL to host that. But if it was me, it sounds like Quebec City would probably be the place that you want to host that. But St. John has a long and deep and rich history with CHL hockey as well. So to me, it's a tough call if you're going to pick one of those two cities. I mean, again, the money that you can make off an 18,000 seat arena is huge if you can sell out all those games. On the flip side, though, I mean, you're talking about a St. John team that could be very good, and the hosts always get a free pass to get in there. So do you want the Remparts in, or do you want the Sea Dogs in?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm honestly just going to go back because it's got to be used. used at some
point. Yeah, I mean, you would think that they would have to use that at some point for a big event like that. And getting, you know, CBC and TSN in there would be, you know, a good way to show off that arena. Not only that, but show off the product that you have on the ice. But again, I'm not in charge. That's Canadian Hockey League President Dan McKenzie and the Board of Governors there that look after that. The one big news, though, is the Memorial Cup this year will be presented by Kia. So Kia is your. It used to be presented by MasterCard, the MasterCard Memorial Cup. Everybody remembers that. Memorial Cup will now be presented by Kia. So a new sponsor, a new TV deal, a new CHL is finally maybe making some inroads to find better places to show off their game. The one thing that really, I don't know if I should get excited for this. I don't know if this is going to happen, but the one thing I'm really hoping is that if CBC does really well with the CHL, maybe they look at start pushing U Sports on CBC as well more often rather than having the national championship. Maybe we'll get to see like a featured game every week or whatever on CBC at least. But
I agree. I would love to see that. It's got to happen at some point. I mean, that league there's some pretty incredible players in that league. It's high level hockey, whether it's, you know, the women's side or the men's side. So that would be nice to see, definitely. So let's keep our fingers crossed there. Let's keep pushing for it. But
it should be a fun season. Hopefully we'd see the Ice and the Wheat Kings on TSN or on CBC or whatever. Obviously some big stars. Connor Bedard playing for the Regina Pats. You know, he's going to be in there. Shane Wright of the Kingston Frontenacs. Antonin Vero, I mean, of the Gatineau Olympique. Like, there's a ton of good stars coming up as well. And if you want to catch them, TSN and CBC are the place to catch them this year. So make sure you got your cable packages all updated for October because you won't see
other
Sportsnet
watch. So that's super exciting.
I do want to mention before we go on to the next thing, there was a transfer in. I was doing this the other day and I totally forgot about it and I was looking at it. I'll start off by giving you the story because we all know the story, but everybody knows that RMU basically screwed up with their hockey programs. I mean, that's not like they completely screwed it up entirely. And then
just a little, I would say
hockey is now back at RMU And this is the weird part. I mean, I talked about this a couple weeks back and about, you know, them having some fights with some players and stuff, Jeffrey Kessler and all that, in terms of, you know, him stepping to the forefront and asking for a meeting. It's officially back. Hockey at RMU will happen this year for the 2021-2022 season, thanks to the newly formed Pittsburgh College Hockey Foundation, which basically is the women's and men's hockey teams of RMU, along with some pretty powerful people, in combined with a few sponsors. They will work with Robert Morris University to bring hockey back for the 2021-2022 season, excuse me. As I mentioned on the Canada Day episode of the show, Jeffrey Kessler is the main reason why this is happening. He's a monster lawyer that basically got the NCAA to reverse all of their restrictions on education-related athlete benefits. Supreme Court voted 9-0 in favor of Kessler and his argument that that was basically violated antitrust laws. He's also the lawyer that took a stand beside the athletes of 11 different sports cut by Stanford University. He got all of those sports put back in, and now he has two more sports that he can put on his resume because he got hockey put back in at RMU.
I'm just like, this whole situation still is like, it's mind-boggling to me. But I mean, obviously it's great that they're gonna have hockey again. It's just a little like, what the...
There is a problem though.
Beep show. I can't say the word.
The beep show continues though, because there is a problem in that they're gonna have to recruit heavily. There have been a pile of players who have transferred out.
Yeah, like all their probably, you know, most of the top players had somewhere else to go. Or
Michaela Boyle. Michaela Boyle has already transferred to Boston University, I think.
Yeah.
She was their leading scorer. She was their likely going in as their best player. The other catch is that, again, amongst the other different players that transferred out, there's one coming to U Sports right here in Canada West.
Oh, wow.
As the UBC Thunderbirds made a little bit of noise the other day when they announced that they had recruited Joelle Fiala from the Colonials. Joelle played down there, obviously did a bunch of stuff and with the Colonials in her two seasons that she was there. But she's a pretty good player, and she's going to come in and be part of the Thunderbirds starting next year. Fiala is going to be a huge boost for that program.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a huge pickup for UBC. That's, I mean, sucks to be, you know, RMU right now, but that's big for UBC. Not that, you know, we need them to get any more super big names or great players, because, I mean, obviously we want U Sports to stay, you know, a good league. It's incredible, but I know, yeah.
Wow. I have no problem with her transferring in if it's going to make team stronger, but I struggle with the fact that she had to pick UBC. Sorry, UBC. Yeah. I'm not trying to rain on your parade or anything, but
no, that's what I'm going with trying to get at there. Like, sorry, I'm not, but like, come on.
Come on, UBC. Like, anybody but UBC. Could you try it? But again, I'm taking nothing away from UBC. Good on Graham Thomas. Good on Graham Thomas for being able to recruit her and bring her in. She's going to be a good player in this league. And I really hope that we're not talking about Joelle Fiala at the end of the season as being, you know, the reason that UBC won everything, because I don't want to see UBC win.
I know. Again, not trying to, you know, beep on UBC. They have a great program. But come on, why can't it be like U of M or McEwen?
Yeah, McEwen, somebody like that. Like, that's all good. If they go anywhere else, except for Alberta. Alberta already gets their share of good players. So
there's some big names.
I just gonna basically say it. Let's do anywhere outside of Alberta or BC. Like, if they went to a Saskatchewan school, because she's from Saskatchewan originally. Like, Joelle Fiala is from Saskatchewan. She went to Regina or Saskatchewan. I could go, okay, that's no big deal. But why UBC? Come on.
Yeah, hey.
That's all right, though. I'm just... For those that are listening that are UBC fans, I'm just poking a little fun at UBC because
we're half kidding.
Well, I'm poking a little fun because we do have that strong rivalry with UBC, and they always have good teams. And Graham Thomas and his Thunderbirds always come out here and drive the Bisons through the end boards all the time with their physical play, and they're good play. They play well. Like, again, like yeah. you were saying, Jenna, like they have a great program. So just tough to see another good player go to UBC.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, good for both of them. Like obviously UBC and Joel, but come on.
good players are all over the place. Speaking of good players, let's have some fun here, because this is I didn't even know this was happening, and I admit that I mean I knew this was happening because it's the draft, it's the NHL entry draft, but I didn't know that Chicago was doing all this great stuff behind the scenes. So Chicago Blackhawks came out on Wednesday and said that they are going to have select members of the organization's hockey operations and youth hockey departments announce draft picks at the podium during this weekend's National Hockey League draft, which makes sense. I mean, it's a virtual draft for all the U.S. teams. Canadian teams can be in attendance in Ottawa, but obviously the U.S. teams can't, which makes sense.
Yeah.
I had no idea that the Blackhawks were just loading up on female employees, because the number of employees and the people, the names specifically, are pretty impressive.
I agree. It's some, I mean, we talked about it a little bit before, but yeah, I'll let you explain more before I get sure. into detail.
So among the 8 Blackhawks staff members that will be announcing picks this weekend, they will include Annie Kamens, who's the senior director of youth hockey, Kendall Coyne Schofield, no introduction needed for her, everybody knows her name, but she is the player development coach and youth hockey growth specialist for Chicago. Mary DiBartolo, who's been around forever with the Chicago Blackhawks, senior coordinator of hockey strategy and analytics. Megan Hunter, who's the director of hockey administration and amateur scout. Laura Jordan, who's the manager of developmental and girls programming. Those are the ones that are okay, like I had no idea that they were doing all this. The 3 new additions, here's where things get interesting. Karen Pilch, who's a scout and works in the player personnel department, was hired. She joins the Blackhawks after being the general manager for the Boston Pride of the NWHL. So okay. she's got a little bit of knowledge on how to yep. evaluate players, I would say. yeah. She's a graduate of Boston University. She was a Hockey East All-Academic Team honoree while playing for the Terriers. She also worked for BU as the director of hockey operations.
So okay.
She's been around forever. She's been, yeah. or not a, I guess not forever. That sounds awful, but she's not that old.
Yeah,
but,
I'm like, hold on.
Yeah,
hold
she's
on.
Not that old, but she's been around enough that she's probably really good at what she does. And Chicago said, yep, we agree. We're going to hire her. The second new person is Kelsey Colzer. Now, Colzer comes in as a scout and player personnel in the player personnel department as well. She's a Princeton University graduate. She is the head coach of Arcadia University, a position she's held since 2019. And she was the first Black women's head ice hockey coach in NCAA history.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, not bad, eh? Colzer was also a three-time first-team All-Ivy League honoree, as we heard last week with Sarah Hodges. That's a pretty big honor. She was named the Ivy League Player of the Year in 2016. She was the first overall selection in the NWHL draft in 2016. She's been on the NHL, NHLPA Female Hockey Advisory Panel for 3 years as well, and she's legitimately a mover and shaker in the hockey world. So Kelsey Colzer comes in as well, both as a woman and as an African-American woman. So huge hiring there by the Blackhawks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The third, and this is where I had no idea. I heard about it today, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Bridget Laquette. You may know that name a little bit. She is a Mallard, Manitoba native, Côté First Nation, Saskatchewan native. She became the first First Nations woman to play. I'm going to stop that right now. I'm reading this off the Chicago Blackhawks press release. I'm going to strike that from the... She's the first Indigenous woman to play on Canada's Olympic hockey team. Okay, so get rid of that First Nation crap. She's the first Indigenous woman to play on Canada's Olympic hockey team. She helped her country win a silver medal in 2018 in Pyeongchang, which we all remember, unfortunately, but terrible shootout. But anyway, Laquette also made her double IHF Women's World Championship debut in 2015, winning the first of 2 back-to-back silver medals with Canada. She's also named the 2017 Team Manitoba Top Female Athlete. She's an alumni of University of Minnesota Duluth. She also played at the University of Manitoba with the Bisons. Laquette has played on Canada's national senior women's hockey team since 2015. She has been a player evaluator through years of coaching at lower levels. She will actually join the Blackhawks as a pro scout as well.
I absolutely love that. Like you said, this is something I also just found out today. So
that's huge. I think that's fantastic for Bridget. I know that, again, she's been in hockey forever too. All eight women that I mentioned have been in hockey forever. But I mean, the fact that they're really diversifying and really hiring a lot more women of color as well, maybe shows that Chicago, I mean, despite all of the stuff that's gone on from years ago that is in the news right now, that the current people that are running the Blackhawks, when they talked about diversifying, when they talked about, you know, honoring Indigenous communities, when they talk about, you know, hiring more women, like, they're actually doing it.
Yeah, I was going to say they're doing it, which is the biggest thing. Like, you can talk all you want about doing it until you actually do it. It doesn't really mean a whole lot. And yeah, it's crazy because most, you know, it's nice to see like the NHL teams. I mean, you see a lot of the NHL guys wearing, you know, their I'm going to mess up the letters again, sweaters and stuff. Like, obviously, they are here for it. But to have a team that's actually, you know, hiring these women and putting, you know, saying, you know, it's not even hiring them for like these background parts. They're hiring them for like some major roles. That's huge. So
Not only just hiring them for major roles, but, you know, promoting them into major roles as well. I mean, we're talking about, you know, eight women that are going to come out and basically call out names for the NHL team at the draft. I mean, that's usually handled, you know, by the hockey men, you know, the suits and ties that, you know, think that they're smarter than everybody else. Don't get me wrong. They're probably going to have a heavy hand in who gets picked. But at the same time, though, we're talking about women that are going to be scouting, that are going to be doing all this work now behind the scenes that will legitimately give these hockey men, these, you know, suits and ties that think they're so smart, all the information they need to look that smart. And I think that's the best part of it.
No, I agree. Like I said, it's a huge role. And most NHL teams right now are sticking to hiring their men or whatever to do it. So,
I mean, we'll jump from an Indigenous story with Bridget Laquette to another Indigenous story. WHL had a team redesign their logo this past week. You may have heard the Portland Winterhawks had made the decision to retire their Chicago Blackhawks-esque logo that they were using. They used forever. Like, that was, you thought Portland Winterhawks, you thought that was their, like, that's their logo that comes to their, they did it fairly quietly without demanding a ticker tape parade, without demanding a lot of fanfare. So I'll give them a little kudos for that. They basically said, you know what? We realize that this needs to change and we're going to change it. And then they went ahead and did it. And I got to say, I love the new logo that they picked.
Yeah, I was just looking at it. Like, I've been not really into the hockey world this week. It's been crazy. But I was looking at it on your blog there, and I do like it a lot. It's simple, but not too simple. And it's got a little bit of everything in it. I don't know. I like it.
I mean, the mountains, to sort of create the body / head sort of, the difference between the body and the head there, that where the mountains are, you know, represent, you know, obviously the mountains that are near Portland, and then the hawk, I mean, obviously makes sense that it's, you know, it looks fierce and all that, still keeps the color, still keeps everything going. The secondary logo, again, doesn't change much. It just changes the tomahawks that were used behind the P to hockey sticks, which I think is, I mean, obviously you have to change that, but it's far more respectful than the Indigenous imagery they were using, just because, again, you can't just start using that, or you can't keep using that stuff in today's day and age, especially when there are so many easier ways to solve that problem. So I think that the removal of Indigenous imagery in this logo from the Winterhawks is actually not only a benefit for them, you know, socially, but I think it benefits them huge in terms of just getting a better logo than what they had there.
I agree. Like you said, you know, right now, there's a lot of teams that have been making those changes. We still got a few more, but it's nice to see that they're, you know, actually taking it seriously and saying, hey, like, we probably shouldn't use this anymore. It's not very acceptable. It's, you know, what, I don't want to use the wrong words, but you know what I mean?
No,
credit, I like the Hawk one better.
Well, yeah. I mean, the primary logo is fantastic. So A primary logo that's not fantastic. We mentioned that we talk about Abbotsford a little bit. The Abbotsford Canucks are the new team in Abbotsford. I mean, Abbotsford's got this long, rich history with aviation. There's all sorts of stuff they could have done, but they would go with the Abbotsford Canucks because why not just be lazy and do nothing, right? Like, that's just easier. I have a serious problem, though, when a team, when an NHL team takes one of their secondary logos and makes it a primary logo for their AHL team, because that's exactly what the Canucks did. And it shows zero creativity, zero thought, and zero effort. So
that's the thing. Like, it's just, it's expected. You know what I mean? Like, I know we were super excited to see this logo and whatnot. And then it came out. I was like, oh, I feel like I've seen this before. Not great. Like you said, no creativity, no nothing. It's more so just, we're going to do this because it makes sense. And here you go. It's all yours. Have fun. And I think it's kind of garbage, but
it comes back to the same idea, though, that you need to have your own branding if you want to market these teams effectively. And I'll say that because the Minnesota and the Iowa Wild have the same name. Like, they're the Minnesota Wild, Iowa Wild. Ottawa and the Belleville Senators, they're the exact same. Like, there's no difference between those two teams when you talk about how they market themselves. The Dallas Stars, the Texas Stars, the Bridgeport Islanders, the New York Islanders. Like, I'm starting to see, I get the idea that it's easy to brand your affiliation with your name. It super quick, super easy, super don't have to think about it. We can just start marketing it right out of the gate. But the problem becomes, though, is how do you market the Abbotsford Canucks? Like, they're not, it has no tie to the community, has no community pride, no civic pride in it. How do you tell people, this is a great logo, this is the team you want? Unless this team comes out and starts blowing the doors off everybody in the AHL, and, you know, I
have to put that logo in, that they're gonna have to do something big, because like you said, there's no community, there's no nothing. It's just, we're gonna take this and we're gonna use this old logo, gonna use the same name, and we're just gonna hope that people buy it because it has somewhat of the same name,
right? And I just go, if you want to market the Vancouver Canucks in Abbotsford, then market the Vancouver Canucks. Don't use the Abbotsford Canucks to do that.
You would think, but I don't know if, like, somebody just forgot to do their job and they're like, oh, well, we need to get this new thing out right now. This is what we're going to do. Cause that's kind of what it seems like.
to me, that's exactly, it's legitimately like, oh, we forgot to do this and today's the reveal day. Well, let's just hand this in and get marks for it.
Yeah, like, it's already been done. It's already here. Somebody forgot to do their job, I think. but I don't know. We'll see.
I don't like it. Like, this is, like, if you want to be lazy and you want to be useless, hockey's not the sport for you if that's the case.
Yeah. There's lots of other things you can do. But when it comes to hockey, like, you can make, if you're, obviously we talk about it being a business every week or whatnot, and I feel like this is literally, I honestly think somebody just was like, oh shoot, today's the release day, we got to do this, and that's what it seems like. So,
but what makes it worse is they pushed back the release date too. Like, they legitimately said, we're not ready, and then they come out with this.
Yeah, you're not ready, but it's already been done for however many years now, but it's okay.
I don't know. It makes me angry, but whatever. I can't say much more about that. The only other new logo that came out was the one for Admiral Vladivostok over in the KHL. They went from blue to what looks like black and gold for their uniform or for the color scheme. That new logo, I think, is pretty good. You can see it on Hockey Blog in Canada, but I kind of like it better than their old cartoony logo.
Yeah, I honestly, I'm not going to lie, I don't know what the old one looked like. But I do like the new one. It looks pretty good. So I'm going to leave that to you. But
that's all right. I was going to say, I don't know how it'll affect their gameplay. Obviously, if you look, you know, the old adage of you look good, you play good. But we'll see if that's the case for the team that's the furthest team away from Moscow when the KHL season starts in 2021, 2022. But Jenna, we are virtually out of time yet again. Which always happen in the show. We never always seem to run out of time when we have good things to talk about. But anything you want to say before we get going?
No, I don't think so as of right now. I mean, my brain's pretty fried.
Well, we'll let you get your brain set for more coaching and more setup at the Sammy Joe Small Hockey School. Again, folks, if you want to go to that, get over to sammyjoesmall.ca, check that information out. It won't happen again this year, but it will happen again next year, as Sammy always brings the school back as often as she can, assuming that everything is good to go for protocols and COVID and all that kind of stuff for next year. It will happen again next year, and who knows, maybe Jenna will be working there again next year. We'll find out.
I think hopefully, I mean, I should be around, but that's the game plan as of right now, because I'm not ready for this week to be over. So
that's always a good sign when you go to camp. You don't want it to end too quickly. So sounds like everybody's having fun, including the instructors there. With that, folks, we are out of here for another week. Have a good one. Skippy with Free Range Radio coming up next here on 101.5 UMFM. Stay tuned for that, everybody. It's been the Hockey Show. We'll see you again next Thursday on this station.
Tell you this for free. Some things don't make sense in the morning. 3-second memory helps you to forget all the same, and sometimes it's what you need to move on with life again, strife again. She rode off on her bike again. Perfect end, never again. I don't know quite where to begin. There's evidence that ever since she left perfume and fingerprints, I won't let you, won't forget you.
Remember me. Life again, no strife again. I got back on my bike again. No perfect end, won't let you in. I now know just where to begin, cause ever since there's evidence, there's no such thing as accidents. I won't let you, won't forget you.
You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg. During our time away from campus, here's a friendly reminder that the UMSU Service Center is here to help you with all your Winnipeg transit-related needs. If you're a new student and need to get your post-secondary PEGO card set up, we're the place to go. We'll get you set up quickly and help you save 20% versus a regular adult full fare pass. Lost your PEGO card? Don't sweat it, we've got you covered there as well. We're currently open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m., so come visit us in room 101 on the main floor of the UMSU University Center, call us at 204-474-8211, or email us at umsu@umsu.ca.